It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In studying about the life of Jesus Christ, if you've studied any time at all, or if you've been around any time at all, you know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin according to the Scriptures. He had no earthly father. Well, the Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin. This would be the Virgin Mary, and she conceived. The Bible tells us that she conceived and brought forth a son, and that son was Jesus Christ. It was a miraculous birth. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He walked on this earth, performing miracles and doing certain things that would bring men and women to him who would receive him as the Messiah. Well, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says this, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And then we look in verse 22, it says, speaking of Jesus, "who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Well, we know that Jesus Christ came into the world a miraculous birth. He lived and he walked on this earth sinless, and he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He was buried, and the Bible talks about him being resurrected. Well, people rejected him when he was here. We read in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3 where it says this, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." That is his talk, speaking of his first coming to this earth. He is coming again. And right now I'd like for us to understand this, that if he's coming again, that means he had to ascend after his resurrection. He did ascend back to heaven. He was rejected according to the Scriptures and according to what we read there. He was crucified. He was buried. On that third day, as we study the Word of God, we know that he rose on the third day. He is alive. The Bible teaches us as we look how that he ascended back to the Father. Well, following his resurrection, the Lord Jesus was seen by certain men and women for 40 days. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 says this, "to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion." In other words, that's after his crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection. He was seen alive. And it goes on to say he was seen alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Well, after Christ's resurrection, he was taken up into heaven to await the day until his triumphal return when his enemies shall be made his footstool, according to Psalm chapter 110 and verse 1. It says there, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Christ was left here, and he stayed here for 40 days after his resurrection. Now, I want you to notice with me, if you would, a fourfold purpose of Christ waiting 40 days to ascend to the Father. Well, the first purpose of the 40-day period was to convince the disciples of the reality of the resurrection. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says this, The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Well, after the resurrection, the Bible makes mention of those who doubted. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 and 17, and you can compare this with Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 11, and Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 14, and John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28. Well, notice with me, if you would, in Matthew 28, 16 and 17, where it says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." When in Luke chapter 24 and verses 1 through 11, now I'd like to read all of this. Verse 1 starts by saying, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Once again, we look at Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 14, and you can read how that there were those who believed not. We remember one particular person who is mentioned specifically in the Word of God, and yes, you guessed it, it's old Thomas, Doubting Thomas. He was one that doubted, but he was one among many who doubted. And according to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28, and you can read that again if you like, you can read it. Well, it says in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28, and we'll go ahead and read that. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Remember this, Jesus had appeared to the disciples, in other words, 10 of the apostles, and Thomas was not present at that time. But it says there that Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them. That was those apostles who were present when he came, when Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection. Well, notice in verse 25 now of John 20, it says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him," they're saying this to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within." This is Jesus' disciples. They were there within, and Thomas with them. "Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Well, the moment Thomas saw the risen Lord, all doubts vanished. John chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Instantly, doubting Thomas became convinced Thomas. This 40-day period served its purpose well as Christ appeared to these people. Well, the second purpose of the 40-day period was to communicate truth about his kingdom. The king himself taught the apostles concerning the kingdom. Can you imagine that? The Lord himself taught these people. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Well, Israel's promised kingdom was foremost on the minds of the disciples, as it was indicated by their question, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore restore again the kingdom to Israel? Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And their master and teacher supplied them with needed information concerning this vast subject of God's reign on earth. He taught them what was going to take place. Well, the third promise of the 40-day period was to confirm the promise of his presence. The Lord had made a promise. He said he would not leave them comfortless. And we know these verses found in John chapter 14, verse 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, Christ promised his disciples that he would not leave them alone. Christ said he would send another comforter. John chapter 14, verse 16, where he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. When although he was received up into heaven, there was a sense in which he was still present, working with his chosen apostles. In Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, it says this, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. In the Lord's frequent resurrection appearances, he was skillfully instructing his beloved disciples concerning the promise of his abiding presence. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 says, teaching the disciples to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, or always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now these disciples, disciples of the Lord, their Lord, would leave the disciples physically, but he would come in the person of the Holy Spirit to be present with them forever. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, we read that and how that this would be. And the fourth purpose of the 40-day period was to command his chosen apostles. Well, before the Lord was taken up into heaven, he gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 2 says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Well, the solemn commandments given to the disciples comprise what is generally known as the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 through 20 says this, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then we read that familiar verse, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, Jesus Christ was born. He was born of a virgin, and it was a miraculous birth. He lived a sinless life on this earth. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected, and he ascended back to the Father. Now, in a future lesson, we're going to look further into the ascension of Christ as he is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.